Somewhere on the East Coast, deep underground, in an undisclosed location, three friends get together and record Midnight Triple Feature.
Hello and welcome to episode 20 of the Midnight Triple Feature podcast. You can find us on the web at midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com, on Twitter and Facebook at MT Feature. You can subscribe to our channels through iTunes, Stitcher Smart Radio, and YouTube. And you can send feedback and requests to midnighttriplefeature@gmail.com. For today's show, we are discussing the 1974 kung fu film Bamboo Gods and Iron Men, the 1977 cinematic masterpiece The Guy from Harlem, and the 1981 Canadian horror film The Pit. This podcast will contain spoilers. Enjoy.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening. This is episode 20 of Midnight Triple Feature. I'm Mike. Always to the right of me is Adam.
Yep.
And we are your hosts for today. So what is going on, man?
Not much. Been busy.
Yeah? Vacation,
so,
right?
Yeah, so I didn't do recently seen here, but I haven't really watched much.
Did you watch these at home or on vacation?
At home. I didn't get to watch anything on vacation.
No?
No. I watched, I did at one point start watching, Jason X on my phone.
Oh, yeah?
doesn't really count.
Now, how is Lake George in the wintertime?
Well, we were in a indoor water park the whole time.
Oh, that's cheating.
Yeah, so we went there for 3 days and never left the hotel. So we got to the hotel, stayed there, ate. They have three restaurants, so we ate there every meal.
Nice.
And then went to the water park, went to the arcade, did all that shit.
I've been up there in the summertime. Yeah. You know, do the whole boat thing, take it around the whole lake.
And we weren't anywhere near the lake, because you know where the Great Escape is?
Yeah.
It's right, we were right across the street from there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, we never even saw the lake.
But
it was all right.
You should take your Roku.
I did, but their Wi-Fi in the hotel wasn't password protected, but it had a terms and conditions acceptance. So when the Roku tries to connect to the Wi-Fi, it just fails out because it doesn't know how to accept the terms.
Oh, yeah.
So I wasn't able to do it.
Yeah, no, it's like that. And like when I go to get my oil changed, you can do everything but watch videos. Like you can't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't. Have it blocked, so.
It's kind of amazing. So anyway. But I did watch a couple of movies. So I watched another of the Wizard video ones because I told you, I think last episode we talked about I had watched Vampire and Virginia Obscura and Villanelle. I watched Provoked, which I was actually looking forward to Provoked quite a bit, and I was pretty let down by it.
Oh, yeah? I saw it in there.
It looks really good. Like, the trailer makes it look good, and it's basically about these ghost hunters, and it's kind of like Taps, but not. Like, they watch a TV show called Maps. So they go to, all these houses trying to catch, you know, well, evidence of ghosts or whatever, and they never catch anything. And they go to this one house, and then this one dude gets, like, so upset that he can't see a ghost that he starts screaming at the ghost, and then the ghost somehow gets into, like, some little device that he has and goes home with him and then haunts his house.
Okay.
One of the big problems is that, like, the two main characters, it's this dude and his girlfriend, are like real assholes. So the whole movie, they're really, like, he's a complete dickhead. She's like really bitchy, and you don't really like him, but you gotta spend a lot of time with him. Like, the whole movie is basically them.
Now,
so when bad shit starts happening, you kinda don't, I mean, you don't really feel bad for him because he's such an asshole all the time.
Is it shot like the Taps TV show, like, camera, or is
no,
it
that would have been that would have been interesting, I guess, if they had done it that way. They didn't do it that way, and it actually would have been more interesting if they had just stayed with like the typical ghost hunter scenario of them in a house and then something really happens, even though it's been done before.
Yeah,
they tried to do something different by having the ghost go home with him, and it just for me, it didn't work. I think part of it was just because this guy was such a dick. Like, they introduced all these characters in the beginning, and then they all, like, halfway through the movie just kind of disappear and never come back. Like, the rest of the Ghost Hunter team is introduced, and then they leave, and we're just with the asshole and his girlfriend, and then some other guy. And then there's this weird cameo by Tony Moran, who was one of the guys that played Michael Myers in the original Halloween. And it's like one of those weird cameos where they probably were able to get him, so they just put him in there. And I always bitch about this kind of thing where, like, oh, we have Tony Todd and we have all these people, and they're always they do like like 6 hours of shooting.
Yeah, you get them for a day.
Yeah, like this might have been even like a favor because Tony Moran's not famous, and his scene is so bad. He plays like a plumber who goes into the house to fix the pipes because the ghost likes to turn the water on. And he's so bad. And, like, he's playing it almost, like, as if he's, like, as a joke. Like, he thinks this is really stupid. And he's almost playing it like that, whereas everybody else is playing it like a serious horror movie.
Because he probably knew going in.
Yeah, like, he almost comes in, it almost feels like he's, like, playing, like, a riff on, like, Mario.
You know what I mean? Oh, that's funny.
It's weird, yeah. So there's that's this funny. Whole scene in there with him that was, I wasn't happy. I was actually, and funny, because my wife's in the living room as I'm watching the last part of it. And it's like, there's maybe like 30 minutes left. And she's like, what is this movie? I tell her, she's like, it's really shitty. She's like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm only watching it because I've already committed like, 40 minutes.
I hate that.
I'm already halfway there. And I at least want to give it a fair turn, I guess, to see if it's worth the rest of my time.
I got one like that where I'm going to go over. Yeah.
The only other thing I watched was, so I don't really recommend Provoked. It's on Wizard Video on Full Moon Streaming, but there's better ones, I think, on there. I started watching Killjoy. And okay. I still haven't finished it. I don't know.
I have the box set. I have the three set.
I know.
I've seen the first one.
I haven't seen this.
There's like four more, isn't there?
Yeah. So, like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, I actually am, like, not, I'm not getting into it, but I think they might get better as they go along, so I'm gonna finish it. I have, like, 30 minutes left on this one, but it has yet to, like, the Killjoy clown or whatever, like, just showed up. He's, like, selling drugs out of an ice cream truck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
And, like, there's this dude banging this chick and, like, all, I don't know, all this other
stuff.
Yeah,
there's, like, a little blackhead that you get killed.
Yeah, a little blackhead.
Yeah.
But he was, like, summoning the demon.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just getting started.
Yeah.
and dude, they're really, really cheap.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's really cheesy, really cheap, low budget.
I liked the first one for what it was,
right.
So I only bought the box set to see the second two. But now there's Killjoy, Revenge of Killjoy.
I want to watch Killjoy Goes to Hell.
Yeah.
Which I want to see.
And then there's a Revenge of Killjoy.
Right, there's a lot of them.
Like, Killjoy Returns, I don't even know anymore.
So I'm actually interested to get further, because I think they must get better, because why would there be like four or five of these movies unless, I could be wrong.
Yeah, unless people are watching them.
Yeah, people must be watching them, so I'm like, maybe it's just not clicking with me this time, but that was it. That's all I've watched, besides what we had to watch for this show, which was quite a bit. All
right. Yeah, well, since I mentioned it, I'll start right off. I bought this here. I got that. So, I watched the Godzilla vs. Biollante, which is, it's good, but I've read a thing online where they said that it bombed at the box office, because the people didn't know that particular monster. So nobody went to see it because it wasn't. Yeah, they didn't know Biollante, so it wasn't a familiar monster. Not really that bad. It's actually pretty good, and there's some really good like attacks with Godzilla in it and stuff like that. But there's actually two more movies on there.
Yeah, I see. You got Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
I didn't watch that yet.
And Monster.
Watched Monster. Don't watch this movie. Don't watch it.
That's why it's on this set for free.
Me and the old lady started watching it. She left at probably the 45 minute mark. And I said, screw it. I've already dedicated.
Stuck with it, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with it.
I know.
So what it is it's about two girls. They decide they want to go to Japan to do like a global warming or some crap like that, or something about nuclear. I don't even remember. It was so dumb. So it's just them with a video camera.
An earthquake hit Japan. Thousands were feared dead. This catastrophic event was caught on tape. Their footage reveals that it wasn't an earthquake. It was something else. That's all it says.
Yeah. So, and it shows like an octopus or something coming out of the ground, wrapping around a building.
Yeah.
they get there, and like I said, all they have is the video camera, and the whole time it's just one sister going, why are you videotaping this? Why are you videotaping this? And the other one's like, well, that's what we came here for. So they're in some building, there's an earthquake, the entire movie is them running around going, the monster's right behind us, and just running around, talking to random people, nothing is fucking happening, and then all of a sudden, with 2 minutes left in the movie, you see the monster. And you only see the monster for about 30 seconds of that 2 minutes, and then the movie ends. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that's all it was. It's so, so fucking stupid.
I like that it's just called Monster. Like, just the title alone should tell you it sucks. They couldn't afford a good name. That's what I mean. Even the title alone tells you how shitty it must be.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, all right, so here's the thing.
Like, at least Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, you know, tells you exactly what you're probably going to get. Monster doesn't, that's just...
It takes place in 2003, I want to say, but yet there's like cars over there that have just come out recently, so they screwed up that, just like weird shit, man. Hmm. There's like weird like movie posters in the background that have the date of like 2010 on them, but this is taking place in 2003.
Yeah, it says 2000.
And, and then...
That's such a random year, too.
The weird part is... The entire movie, every 10 seconds, every time there's an earthquake, the camera cuts out. Every time they run, the camera cuts out. Now, 2003 was a long time ago, but I'm pretty sure back then, cameras didn't cut out every time you shook them.
Probably.
So, like, it's so bad, dude. So bad. But the Godzilla one was good, and then Shark vs. Octopus. And then I know there's one, Ralph Garman had a small part in Sharktopus.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Those are all the sci-fi movies.
Yeah, I'm going to get to those. Get to that. But yeah, that movie was really bad. So yeah, because my note here was Godzilla vs. Biollante and then Monster equals shit. That's all I wrote down. Watch Castle Freak.
I love Castle Freak.
Oh, okay.
Did you like it?
Yeah. Oh my God, that was so good.
Isn't it good? Yeah. It's weird. I guess it's getting more popular, but I've never seen it like... back in the 90s when it came out, and it was like blown away. I didn't believe how good it was. I really liked it.
Yeah, especially the scene with the prostitute in the cave.
Oh my
God. Oh my God, it's so disgusting.
I know, there's so many scenes in that are like just uncomfortable. Like even the stuff where there's like the blind daughter, right?
Yeah.
And like he, like the freak is in there and he's like watching her, like sort of undressed or whatever, and like... But isn't there a scene where, like,
she's sleeping and he's watching her.
Yeah, it's...
And then she gets up and he doesn't... The freak doesn't know why she can't see him.
Yeah, it's just a lot of, like, really uncomfortable... And then when Jeffrey Combs bangs that hooker, too, that's really weird, too.
Yeah, it didn't last very long.
Yeah, he's pretty quick, yeah.
He's really convincing in that movie.
Yeah, Jeffrey Combs is pretty good in most of the stuff he does. Yeah. And that was Stuart Gordon that directed that, right? So it's a Reanimator guy.
Yeah, I mean, even the scenery in it was... The castle.
Yeah, the
castle. Castle's awesome. Mm-hmm. I really like the castle. And then you got that dick of a cop.
I don't remember him. It's been a while since I've seen it. I saw it a lot when I was younger. I used to watch it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that cop was pretty much a dick.
I have it on Blu-ray. I haven't watched it yet.
So. Watch Shrunken Heads.
Yeah. I've seen Shrunken Heads back in the day, though.
Dude, that movie's fantastic.
Yeah, I remember, like I said, I haven't seen it since it came out. I rented it a couple times, though, when it came out.
Yeah, that movie's really good.
It's about, like, some kids, do they get murdered or something, and they get brought back?
Yeah, they get murdered, and then the old guy that runs the newspaper stand.
Right, yeah, right.
Brings him, goes to the funeral when everybody, which is weird, because he goes after everybody leaves, and the bodies are still in the caskets, and he cuts the heads off. But... Yeah, don't they usually take the bodies right after the funeral? Like,
well, they're supposed to take them right to the graveyard and bury them.
Yeah. No, everybody was gone. It was dark, and he snuck in and cut the heads off. So, and then he shrinks the heads and it gives them magic powers.
Yeah, that's right. And they fly around and shit, right?
The heads fly. And there's that one kid with that just wants the candy bar and he just talks shit the whole time.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
it's been a while. That's on Full Moon Streaming. So
I was hesitant to watch it, but then I'm watching it.
I've been hesitant to rewatch it because I in my head, don't think it's going to be as much fun as it was when I first saw it, because I was so much younger, so...
Yeah, maybe not, but... Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. And then I did the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, who the hell is this kid? The little African-American kid that's in it, the new guy? And I'm watching it, and I'm going, man, he was on something else. And then it hit me, for whatever reason, I'm like, oh, he was on... Remember Sister Sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on that. So I went and looked it up. No, and he was on there. Yeah,
that's funny.
And then I watched Freddy vs. Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted about that.
Oh God, it's I like that. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not long. It's only about 35 minutes.
I looked it up after you put the thing out because I knew about it because you mentioned it, and it gets a lot of love actually on IMDb too, which you know.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah, no, it's actually really. It starts off like pretty much any other movie. It starts off with like Elm Street and Freddy. Then the kid that's having the dreams about Freddy, he goes out with his friends, meets up with some other people, and he actually becomes the Ghostbusters. So, and there's a lot of throwbacks too.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So there's like one where he's putting on the suit, and he was like, "Yeah, they're hand-me-downs from my uncle," and it still has the ectoplasm from
Slimer
on it. So he got all the old equipment. So they throw it back to the original movie, which I really liked. And then there's another one, Return of the Ghostbusters, which I'm going to watch next. But yeah, no, it was really good. You should probably check that out.
I will now, yeah. After you did that, now I'm interested in it.
So, and Freddy in it was really good.
Yeah?
Yeah, they did a good job with that. Yeah. I'm not sure if they just mimicked the voice, because it's really close. It sounds just like it.
I'm sure they mimicked it.
Or if they cut and
edited. They could have, yeah. They could have taken audio from...
Yeah, pretty much it. Other than what I watched for the show.
We interrupt this program to give you an important news bulletin.
This is a special bulletin.
Shut the fuck up!
I got something here for you. See if you heard about this. You heard about what our lovely state is doing with our movie theaters?
No.
So apparently here in Connecticut, they find it necessary that people who work in movie theaters and the patrons who go to watch movies are starting to have hearing loss. So they're limiting the movie theaters as of in a few months to 85 decibels.
I did hear something about that.
85 fucking decibels. Hmm. My stereo down here is louder than that. Okay. So I don't know when that's going to take effect or if it's even going to go through, but they're working on that right now.
It seems like a weird thing to try to.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't get why they care.
Me neither. It's just another way for them to get in their pockets, or.
But how they that doesn't even get in anybody's pocket though.
Oh, well, if somebody
right? If I mean, unless you're paying the contractors to do the work, you know, like I don't see how.
Maybe they're. Dude, they're gonna send somebody in with a decibel meter.
Inspectors, I guess you got to call in state inspectors to check it, and that's why they're gonna. It's weird to me that they would try to regulate sound. I did hear about this.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's so, like, I mean, what are they gonna do? They're gonna sit there and go, "Oh, you're at 87 decibels," and then write them a fine.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah,
maybe that's how they're gonna get the money.
Fines,
you know. Because in this state, they tax you on everything.
Right.
So
that's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Did hear about it. It's just an odd thing to focus on, you know? Like, I mean, it's not unusual for, like, state or whatever to get in and say, you know, they're gonna regulate something due to health or whatever, but just, that seems like a really weird thing to come in and regulate sound.
Yeah, in a movie theater.
I mean, that, yeah.
Of all, I mean, I
a
can
place, a place that many people don't even go anymore anyway.
Yeah, really.
Like, people don't really go to the movies anyway, so it's... Like you said, I mean, you can have it that loud in your home.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So
it's weird.
Louder, you know.
Because, like, here in this town, we have no ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, after 10 o'clock, if you call the cops, they can ask you to turn it down.
Yeah.
Then at some point, you're disturbing the peace.
Right.
But other than that, I can be as loud as I want.
Yeah, yeah.
Public movie theater, you figure with. See, I don't know if it's going to be per theater.
Yeah.
Because if it's 85 decibels in total, imagine all those movies going at once and they all have to equal 85 decibels. If somebody farts, you're going to hear it clear as day.
That's weird, yeah.
So I don't know if it's got to be per theater, I would think.
Yeah, probably.
Because, I mean, but if you go see a movie like Pacific Rim.
I know, right?
You want that pretty loud.
Or if you're, imagine seeing The Avengers or Godzilla, I'm sure. You know, you know what I mean? Like, some of these movies that are coming out now that probably have to be loud. Like, could you imagine Godzilla not being loud?
Well, here's the thing.
But not being at full volume?
If it's at 85 decibels, that means when the bass hits, the bass is at 85 decibels.
Right.
So it's actually going to be lower than that. So the voice itself is going to be lower because when the bass kicks in, it's got to be at 85 decibels.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it's just another thing for them to fucking waste their time on.
Well, if they lose that, then they'll just find some other way to tax us.
Yeah, pretty much.
So. You heard about Ty West's new project?
A little bit.
Western. It's gonna be a Western.
There was an inaccurate report, I guess. I saw it on like Fangoria or something, and they had called it a horror Western. And he sent out a tweet. It's not a horror movie. That's all it said.
Yeah.
So Ty West sent a tweet out, and all it said was, it's not a horror movie. So then, I think it was Fangoria, they had to put like an update, and they're like, well, I guess it's not a horror movie. But that's what the, you know, the production company was saying. So I guess it's just a straight up Western. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm kind of unsure.
Yeah, because if it's a straight Western, it just doesn't seem like his style.
Not at all.
So.
I don't know. We'll have to see, but. I've seen him go outside of his normal stuff before, and I've talked about Cabin Fever 2 many times on here and how bad it is. How bad I think it is, anyway. So I'm interested to see if he takes another step outside of his... You know, because he normally does that slow burn stuff.
Yeah, which works well with him.
Works, yeah, definitely works
so.
Well. And then they're talking John Travolta in this thing, too?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I read that, too. Yeah, that's a weird... Especially with not only Ty West, but in a Western...
Yeah. Yeah, you see when he run on the massage bar in the Western town.
Yeah. I'm gonna roll over, okay?
Yeah.
It's just so weird. Like, he's just gonna walk into a bar with nothing but his like holster on.
Just chaps. Yeah. Assless chaps.
Yeah, I don't see him being in that. But hey, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. It's an interesting news piece anyway.
Yeah. Other than that, nothing else going on that I know of.
I've got one thing about The Grudge. Did you ever see The Grudge? Either the original Ju-on or the remake The Grudge? You don't have to have seen it to be able to talk about the news item.
Oh, I saw the one with, like, the Destiny's Child chicken or whatever.
I don't know.
Something like that?
I don't know. Yeah, couldn't die. All right, so this is the news. It says, it's been a decade since Takashi Shimizu helmed an English language adaptation of Ju-on. So as Japan readies its own new edition of the series, Ghost House Pictures' Sam Raimi and Rob Tapert are developing a U.S. revamp as well. Deadline reports Midnight Meat Train's Jeff Bueller will pen a reboot of The Grudge. No details are available on what exactly the film will be. The term reboot gives the impression of a do-over, excuse me, but it's unclear whether the 2004 film or its sequel and their chronology will play a part. The aforementioned other new Grudge film, Ju-on: The Beginning of the End, is expected in Japan cinemas this June. The interesting thing about this is, it's like we've seen this trend coming. Unfortunately, this is a potential remake of a remake. So you had Ju-on, you had The Grudge, which was a remake of Ju-on. Now you're gonna have The Grudge, which is a remake of The Grudge, and that's you're talking about in the span of 10 years, because The Grudge came out in like 2002 or something. So 12 years. So they. In less than 15 years, they are already remaking a remake.
Wow. So, now, does it say, or do you know, who did the original remake compared to this remake?
Well, the original was the same director. So, Takashi Shimizu did the original Ju-on, and he did the remake.
Okay.
So, he actually did both versions. And if you see them, they're pretty similar, because I've seen both. They're pretty similar. This one is a brand new take on it, I'm assuming. But it is weird. Like, I get... So they did it with recently in, like, superhero movies. Like, Spider-Man did it. They did Spider-Man trilogy, and then they rebooted Spider-Man pretty quickly. But I think that was a rights thing.
They did Spider-Man, and then they did the Amazing Spider-Man.
But there was
different.
Also a rights thing, right? Wasn't it that they had to make a movie in order to maintain the rights to make the movies? Like, you know, like what they did with, like, the Hellraiser movies, where they made that shitty one just so that they could keep the name?
Yeah, well, I think
or
after,
the characters, the rights?
I don't
rights.
Know if after the first set of trilogies, after the third one.
But I don't, this isn't a, The Grudge isn't a rights thing. So it's like, I get, like, a studio strategically doing something, even if they put out a movie that has already been done, just so that they can keep making the movies later. But this is just a weird thing where they're like, I mean, the remake thing, I've always said, you know, I'm not completely against it all the time, but remaking remakes, you get to a point where you're like...
You just get tired of it,
this is fucking
yeah.
crazy. You know, like, at what point, every 5 years, you're just going to reboot every single franchise again and again and again.
Yeah,
you're like, what are the odds that the next Friday the 13th movie would just be called Friday the 13th? You know, like, how many times can you just make the same movie, but...
Yeah, it's probably a rights thing.
Maybe. It's weird to me.
Even so, why would you want to just move on?
I know. And I find it odd that Ghost House is doing it, the Sam Raimi company there, because I don't know why they wouldn't just be doing other shit. I mean...
Yeah, it's weird.
Anyway, that's all I had. I have some releases. Not many. Scream Factory is releasing Leviathan. as part of their Summer of Fear, which Leviathan is one of the many movies that came out of The Abyss from the late 80s. It was like that and Deep Star 6, and there's a lot of them. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing Leviathan, because I remember liking it, but I could be confusing it with Deep Star 6. So, Hellhole, which is another movie they were going to be putting out, has been delayed due to bad film elements they didn't foresee. So they got the prints, and they weren't good. So they don't know if when they're going to get that out, if at all, I guess.
Wow, so the print was so bad, they couldn't even clean it up.
Yeah, there were issues with the print. I don't know if there was shit missing, and I don't know what happened, but I do find it weird that they would announce the film, that they're going to put it out, they give a date, before they actually watch the element, or look at it, before they look at the print. That's weird to me, that you'd be like, well, we got this, this is when we're going to release it, but then, well, never mind, because actually we don't have a good version of it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that probably happens a lot more than we think. And they have one more announcement that's coming shortly, and that'll round out their Summer of Fear, which has some good titles in there. March 25th, we've got Miss 45, The Swimmer, Beneath, and Patrick. Miss 45, eventually, I'll probably pick that up. March 28th, Jekyll and Hyde Portfolio, which is coming from Vinegar Syndrome, and that is an adult film. They put it out on a limited edition version, and then they're putting out a regular version, but I think it's like maybe the cut version or something. But they put out a 1,000 edition or something recently. You can only order it through them or get it at conventions. But I think this, I don't know if this is a limited version or the regular version. It's coming out March 28th. April 1st, we've got King Kong vs. Godzilla and King Kong Escapes. And
Double feature?
No, separate.
Oh.
On Blu-ray. Knights of Badassdom, Meet Him and Die, and Le Immortel, which is some weird movie on the Kino Redemption label. So that is it for releases. So I guess if you've got nothing else, move on to reviews.
All right, take a quick break.
Yep,
be right back.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to Midnight Triple Feature. Please head over to midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com. Check out reviews, past shows, or link up to social media where we can keep in touch. Thank you for listening, and now back to the show.
All right, we're back. We're going to be doing Bamboo Gods and Iron Men.
From Harlem to Hong Kong and across the China Sea, they fear the name, the fame, and the fury of Black Cal Jefferson, the champ. He matched a left hook and a right cross against the skills of the Kung Fu killers and hit them right where they live.
It is about a couple honeymooning in China. The wife buys a Buddha statue, and the husband saves a drowning man, who is a mute and will not stop following him around. A gang shows up, cuts off a taxi, steals the Buddha statue. Charlie the mute shows up to save the day. The gang kidnaps Cal's wife. Cal goes to meet them. Charlie shows up with the pouch that they have been looking for. The gang takes Cal's wife, and they give chase. So it's basic kung fu slash blaxploitation.
Yeah, a little bit. It doesn't have like too much of the blaxploitation stuff, but it's got your, you know, it's got your lead, obviously.
Yeah, which is Cal, and he's a boxer.
Right.
You know, and then Charlie, the mute, is, you know, like the kung fu master.
Right.
So right in the beginning of the movie, we just see like this guy is making these people dig their own grave. Which is pretty gruesome, man. Imagine knowing you're digging a hole just
didn't
for someone to kill you.
In like the concentration camps in the Holocaust, didn't they make them dig the pits? They had to dig pits, and then they throw their body. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
then they shoot them when they're done. And
it's a psychological thing. It's pretty fucked up. I couldn't imagine having to dig my own grave. I don't know.
Did you notice when he buys the Buddha statue, he pays in American money?
No, but you can, right?
In foreign
countries. Not everywhere, but
wouldn't the translation be off?
Well, they do the banks do the conversion, I think. So.
Or conversion, not translate. Well,
yeah, I know what you meant.
Yeah,
I don't know. You can in a lot of countries. You can pay because U.S. dollar is. I don't know how it was in the '70s though. In now, the U.S. dollar is the currency of the world. You know what I mean? So it has yet to be taken over by another currency. The only one that would take it over right now, I think, is like the yen or something. So the U.S. dollar is actually the currency that trading's done in throughout the world. It's the one that's recognized everywhere.
Yeah, well,
in major countries, not every country, but if you do business in China, you should be able to do business to the U.S. dollar.
Wait, so
at any minute they can decide that they don't want to.
If they pay in American money, they're actually paying more for, because if they
I don't know what
I would think would be paying more.
It depends on the country. Certain ones you make money, certain ones you lose money. So when I was down and I was in the Trinidad, can't remember how it worked, but you were losing if you like took a dollar and converted it over, you lost money on that. So it was better, you were always better off using their dollar because you're never gonna lose your money. It's really weird the way it works, but you could take American dollars, bring them to some place, and they would be able to translate it over. Because all they have to know is what the conversion rate is for that day. So, like, if let's say it's 10 of a foreign dollar is equal to one U.S. dollar that day, then they would automatically do that conversion for you. But every day, conversion rates change.
They didn't have PayPal back then?
No.
Because PayPal does it for you.
Well, yeah, you know, that's what we're about.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have Cal is the main character.
Right.
And he is a boxer. Golden Glove. No, not Golden Gloves, because he's using gloves at one point or something like that.
Yeah, I think the Golden Glove is baseball.
Baseball?
Isn't a Golden Glove baseball? Isn't that a baseball award? The Golden Glove?
It's when you fight with no gloves on. Oh, I was like, baseball? Yeah, it's when you just fight with your hands taped.
Like a Street Fighter, right?
Yeah, basically, right. Yeah. But I think he's a regular boxer because he was wearing gloves at one point.
Did you ever see the movie Death Force? Or it's also known as... Oh, my God. It was about this guy. It was this actor. He plays a guy that gets his throat cut and thrown overboard on a ship by his fellow soldiers or whatever. They backstab him. Yeah, and then he washes up on this island, and there's these two Japanese guys there, and they teach him kung fu and how to use a sword. Yeah, it's the same guy and same, not director, but producer, Cyrano something or other, did that. So when I saw this guy, I immediately thought of that movie. And that movie's awesome. If you ever get a chance to watch that movie, it's pretty cool. It's a really good concept. These two supposed to be Japanese soldiers were left behind on this island. I guess they still think that the war is going on. They just live on this island. And this guy shows up and they bring him back to health and then teach him kung fu and how to use a samurai sword. And he goes back to the States and takes revenge on the dudes that backstabbed him. That's pretty cool. But I don't know, that's a tangent, but it's the same guy.
Yeah, it's in the movies, Cal Jefferson. In real life, his name is James Iglehart.
That's him. Yep. He did quite a few movies, right?
Let's see what he did.
He did a lot. These are like the Filipino productions, so they're Filipino actors, but they're supposed to be Chinese or Japanese.
Let's see. That must be a TV show. One episode. Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, 1970. Mm. 7 Minutes, 1971. Angels as Hard as They Come, 71. Savage,
right.
Yeah, Bamboo Gods, Iron Men, Death Force.
Yeah.
And then the last... No, that was it, because the other thing was Voice in a Video Game.
Yeah, and that was recently, right?
It was random. Yeah. So that's him. His wife is Mrs. Jefferson, Shirley Washington. And she's been in a few things. 10 exactly, too. Mission Impossible TV series, Wonder Woman as Maggie. TNT Jackson, uncredited.
Oh, I love TNT Jackson.
Me too, but where was she in and that?
Clearly uncredited, so that means she was nothing.
Yeah, Bamboo Gods, Iron Men, Darktown Shudders. Sanford and Son, one episode, man. I love me some Sanford and Son. That was my ringtone for a long time. Policewoman, Melvin and Howard, and The Red Fox Show in 1986 was the last thing she was in, one episode.
Well, I like both of them in this. I really like this guy. I don't know, there's something about it. I think he's a decent actor, and he definitely comes off as being the kind of dude that could whoop your ass.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, we're going to talk about a movie in a little bit called The Guy from Harlem, and there's not a chance in hell that I would ever think that guy could whoop my ass. This guy, though?
Yeah.
This guy, I wouldn't want to fuck with him, so... He definitely sells it pretty well. And then same thing with the little kung fu guy there. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, Charlie, which is played by Chiquito. He's from the Philippines.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's Filipino. They're all Filipino, but they're supposed to be Chinese.
Yeah, and he was in 203 things.
Wow.
None of them I can pronounce.
Huh. Well, it is funny, like the first time we see him, there's like this random naked chick.
He was in E.T.
That's random.
Is Eastong Tutuang.
That's really weird.
I'm assuming it's not the E.T. we know and love, but...
Oh, yeah, I'll bet it's one of the ripoffs.
Let's see. There's no cover picture of it either.
What year?
1983. Comedy horror. It's pretty funny, because it is called
E.T.
Yeah, he was in a ton of stuff. So, but no, all three of them were pretty good together.
Yeah, they were. I actually liked all the leads, particularly the two guys there. She's good too, but she's just playing damsel in distress or angry wife a lot, or you know,
yeah,
newlywed, whatever. But I did find it weird. That was when I was saying before, is the first time we meet Chiquita. I don't know, what was his character's name?
Charlie.
That's right, Charlie. It's like this random naked chick, right, running around, and these dudes are like trying to rape her or something.
Yeah.
Did they ever explain what that was all about?
No, I think they were just thugs.
Why was she butt naked in the middle of the day running around?
Who knows? It's China, man.
It literally just goes to this scene with this butt naked chick, and this dude comes in to try to save her, and he loses. They throw him in the river.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out the whole time, like, where the relevance was to that scene, but I don't think there was
any. I think that was just her boobie budget.
Yeah.
Then that was it, because it was random, it came, it gone.
She was fully nude. I mean, I don't know if they, if you got, you know, you saw everything or not, but.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, well, I didn't see everything.
That's what I mean. I don't know if you saw, like, Bush or anything, but.
So, yeah, they just kind of, like, trying to think of I don't remember the gang's name or whatever it was, but they finally get the Buddha statue. And karate chops it.
Yeah.
With his hand right in half.
Yeah.
And it was like a perfect slit too. And then he continues to chop it up into pieces with his hand. Yeah. And then there's the, how about the awkward massage scene?
Yeah, that's the part I was going to mention.
Yeah.
The topless massage parlor.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, because there was boobies there, so that was probably.
Oh yeah, lots of boobies there. Lots of boobies. They don't, you know, like places like that are real. You can go to Rio and get a topless haircut. Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, I've never been there.
I haven't either. But I know some guys that worked down there for a while, for like a year, and they would go get their haircuts at the topless barber salon, and it was just Brazilian women.
But the only time they see it is when they're cutting your bangs.
No, there's mirrors though.
Oh, true.
You know, you're always sitting in a mirror, so you always have a view of the entire salon.
So if you were getting your hair cut across from me, I would have to look at your girl, and you would have to look at mine.
Yeah.
So when we went in there, I'd say, Adam, what girl do you want to look at? Because that's when I would have to pick.
That's true.
So.
But yeah, I mean, it is weird because it's funny because he makes the whole comment about his wife and all that, and he's on his honeymoon, he's getting a topless massage. But it would be kind of awkward. You're like sitting there with this other dude, and you're both getting what I assume would end in like happy endings.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a topless massage, but you don't get the full package. But you're like sitting there staring at each other, so.
Yeah, it's weird. And talking the whole time.
And talking about business the whole time. Meanwhile, Charlie's out trying not to get a topless massage.
So basically, the gang is looking for this bag of. Whatever it is that could change the world.
But nobody knows what it is.
Nobody knows what it is.
Yeah. The whole time, they're like, well, like the police inspector, I mean, I assume it's drugs.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Right? I mean, the whole time, I'm like, well, it's going to be heroin or it's going to be coke. And the police, the detective assumes the same thing. But I'm like, heroin and coke can't change the world.
No.
But even the guy that wants it doesn't know what it is.
He just knows it's in a sack. That's all he knows.
He has no idea what's in there. He just thinks that it's going to change. Somehow it's going to help him to, like, rule the world.
Yeah, so they spend the entire film looking for the sack. And at one point, they actually wind up kidnapping Cal's wife.
Right.
Thinking that he has it. He has known nothing about it, but he winds up.
Does he even have it?
No, he never has it.
He doesn't, right?
He never has it. Yeah. They just assume it's in this Buddha statue.
Somebody just told him it was, I guess.
Which I didn't get, unless it was in the Buddha statue, because when the little boy was bringing the Buddha statue, somebody pulled him into an alleyway.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the Buddha statue showed up at the house.
Yeah.
So unless this thing was in the Buddha statue,
maybe it was,
and they swapped it out without, and they never showed us.
Maybe it was just.
I didn't get that part. That was random.
Well, that's why I thought he never had it. So
yeah, I don't think he ever actually had it, because he never took possession of it until it was in a hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
They kidnap Cal's wife. Mrs. Jefferson goes off with them, and they're threatening to kill her if he doesn't bring it. So he tries to trick him into he's got it, just so that he can lure him over there. Winds up going there. Him and Charlie go there. Charlie's actually got a bag of whatever the hell it is.
Right.
And gives it to the bad guys. But the end of this movie was fantastic, man.
I didn't see it coming at all. There's a long chase scene, which is also very blaxploitation. If you watch a lot of blaxploitation, you'll get, at least in my experience with them, is you get these weird foot chase scenes.
Yeah,
It happens, like, if you ever watch, Black Shampoo's got one at the end, and there's others that I've seen. But, so that, when you're talking about, like, that blaxploitation element, that feels like it to me when they're chasing each other around and fighting and
just kind of running all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's three fights going on, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah,
Mrs. Jefferson and the gang leader's girlfriend, they're fighting.
Yep.
Cal and the gang leader, one of his henchmen, are fighting, and Charlie and another henchman are fighting, and it goes for a while.
That's what I'm saying. It goes on for a long time, which is good because there are some slow spots in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, there's some dragging in there, so it was nice to get to a part where there's actually some action going on for a pretty good amount of time, and like you said, a lot of different sort of action set pieces going on simultaneously.
Yeah, especially with Charlie and when they're in the water.
Yeah,
and they both come up out of the water and they're back to back. But don't even realize it yet. That was pretty good. So, yeah, the fight scene goes on for a while, and then a helicopter shows up. The gang leader takes the bag and gets into the helicopter, and then the girl comes and rips the bag out of his hand. He pushes her out. She grabs the bag. His dumbass lands the airplane again to run over and get the sack when the cops show up, and all it is sand.
It's gunpowder.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. They blew it up. That's right.
Remember, he sniffs it, he tastes it.
And then they all turn black.
They end up all in blackface at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
It was gunpowder, so that was... And that's how it ends. It literally ends
with them sitting there laughing.
All them sitting there laughing in blackface, and then the movie ends,
yeah.
It was really, really weird. I didn't know what to think of it, so I had to, like, digest it, like, think about it for a little while. Like, just kind of sitting around, like, after. I'm like, I don't know if I like... I did like the ending, and, like, now I look back and, like, I liked it. But when I initially saw it, I was like, what the... that's it? That's the end of the movie? It's gunpowder, it blows up, and everybody laughs, and the movie's over? I don't know. It works now, because I'm like, it's so fucking ridiculous that... I guess they didn't know how else to end it, because...
Yeah, it was a weird ending, but... I just looked past that.
Yeah.
And I went... So, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, overall.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd never seen it before. I put it on the list just kind of. It's on the Shout Factory Action Pack, volume, the second one they put out.
The four-pack?
Yeah, it's on one of those. So I've been wanting to watch it, and I figured this was a good opportunity to check it out.
Yeah.
It was fun. You know,
yeah, it was fun.
I would definitely enjoyable. Recommend it. And it's on Netflix right now, at least. So
yeah,
it's
that's
easy
how
to
I
watch.
Saw it. Yeah.
I think it might be on Amazon Prime, too.
That was Bamboo Gods and Iron Men. So we're going to move on to another blaxploitation kung fu movie. The Guy from Harlem.
Yep. Eat shit.
You eat your damn self. Oh, you hooky the life.
I told you to keep your hands off that chick.
Hey, what can I say, man? She looked horny.
Harlem is the experience playground for all people interested in becoming detectives.
So, this was actually Connor's movie, and...
He couldn't make it today?
Yeah, couldn't make it.
Can I give you the plot synopsis?
Go ahead.
There's a guy from Harlem. He's a detective. He sits in a room with a princess, trying to figure out how he's going to bang her and protect her from people. Then he goes back to his office. He's given another task where he has to find some other girl that's been kidnapped. He has to fight some guys, one dude who's constantly trying to rape this chick. And then he has to try to sit in a room and bang her. And that's the movie.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's basically like three locations, and it's the guy from Harlem protecting and trying to bang chicks.
So one of my first notes I have here, and I've seen this movie three times.
Wow.
All right, so this is the third time I've seen it, and I actually debated on, do I watch it or do I go off memory? But I watched it.
I watched it,
and one of the first notes that I wrote down was, this basically it should be a porno. The acting is like a porn movie,
the music,
and everything he's trying to do would basically be like a porn movie.
Yeah, it almost could have been one of those 70s-themed porn movies with like a detective who's, you know what I mean, who's, if you ever watch Boogie Nights, Mark Wahlberg plays a porn star in that movie in the 70s, and his character was Dirk Diggler, and he was like a detective who would just bang chicks and solve crimes. That's almost what this movie is, only there's hardly any sex in it at all.
No.
Like, a lot of it is him literally, like, the whole, all the princess shit, he's sitting around on a couch trying to have sex with her.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying. Like, yep. And it's, like, he's so, it doesn't even make sense to why these women sleep with him, because he's a joke.
Yeah. Let's start off right with the title screen. All right. The title, basically, the opening of the movie is him driving a car.
Right.
And the credits are rolling while he's driving.
It's got the song. God from Harlem.
Get down. God from Harlem.
You were right. It did have a theme song.
Yeah, I told you. I knew it would. I've never seen it, but I knew it would have.
Oh, yeah. It had a theme song. Mm-hmm. So the theme song's playing, and you have a view of out the front of the car.
Yeah.
You can't see the text at all because it blends in with the background. You have no idea what it says.
You can't actually read it. I know. It's all really pointless.
It's so bad, man. From the title screen, you know what type of movie you're getting into.
Yeah, even then, I don't think you really know.
No?
Like, even at that point, you're like, all right, maybe they just didn't realize that. But maybe, like, you have no idea yet just how inept this movie is. Like, how incapable these people were of making a movie.
Now, let me ask you, you're a little more savvy with that type of stuff than me.
Right.
How hard is it to take that screen and just hit, like, red on the lettering?
It probably not that hard. I mean, today it'd be really, really easy. In the 70s, I couldn't tell you how it would be an overlay. So my guess would be that, yeah, they could have just made it whatever color they wanted. But I could see them, okay, I could see them doing something where they laid it out on black. Like, you know what I mean? Like where they were, cause it's, like I said, it's probably an overlay type thing where they're taking it. Cause it was it scrolling text?
Yeah, it was scrolling.
It was, right? So I could see them putting that on black. And being like, all right, well, the text needs to be white so you can see it. And then overlaying it later and being like, fuck, like, wait a minute, we don't open on black. It's broad daylight.
Oh, man. Yeah, I couldn't read. You can't read anything.
I noticed that, too, right away.
So, so basically he has this really small office with a secretary, okay? Now, the secretary is probably, what, 2-3 feet outside of his door?
Yeah, I guess.
So he picks up the phone. He gets a phone call about this account. He calls his secretary on the phone and says, cancel all of my appointments for the rest of the day. All he had to do is look out the door. She was right there. Like, why the fuck is he calling her?
I question whether or not they're honestly in the same room. I'm pretty sure they're not even really in the same room. They shot those in two separate rooms.
Oh, they probably, yeah.
Like, in different, you know what I mean?
Completely different times.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, I'm pretty sure. Could be wrong, but she's got a pretty sweet gig, though, because she basically sits there and reads books all day. Did you notice that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know what she's getting paid, but he's never there. Like, he comes in at, like, well, like, there's one point where he comes in and he's like, I'm leaving early today. I had a rough day. And she's like, it's only 10. He strolled in at 10 a.m., and then he's going to leave early.
Yeah.
And, like, she literally gets to sit there from, like, 9 to 5, read books, and there's nobody there. There's no work for her to do.
Nothing, unless she's answering the phone.
Right, it seems like he makes his own fucking appointments. Like, they show up, and she's like, you don't have an appointment. She's like, so you can't see him, and he's like, send him in. Doesn't even matter. Like,
yeah.
Why is she even there?
Yeah, she really. He should just take one of those little, like, you know, like, sometimes you go to somebody's house, and they have, like, the notepad on the door. You just, like, leave a note on the door for him. Like, why doesn't he just have that? Just leave him a note.
He's paying her to do nothing.
And this is when you really start to notice how shitty these cuts. These cuts are so bad, so bad. And you ever notice when it does a close-up of his face, it's the same cut through the whole movie. It's the exact same one over and over and over. It's like him chewing his lip or something. You can like see like one tooth. It's really weird, man. So, yeah, you got to put up with some shitty cuts. He winds up in a hotel room with the princess. God, was that not the sexiest nighty you've ever seen?
That happens throughout this whole movie, though.
Man.
Because like, this is after he takes her to his girlfriend or something? The apartment of the white lady? He goes to her apartment?
I would have... I don't know if it's his girlfriend or if it's maybe a friend with benefits and she just gets a little jealous.
Well, I always say that I notice, like, in the blaxploitation movies is that there's this thing where they have, like, the white women around, but they tend to only, like, the white women are always just wanting to sleep with them.
Yeah.
And whereas the black women tend to have to be seduced. It's always, I always find it funny because I see it in a lot of these movies.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously that's intentional for the genre, but it is funny that, like, he brings her to this chick's house who he's clearly banging. And he's like, yeah, we need to stay here and hide out for a while.
And then tells her to go put her clothes on.
Yeah.
Put the white girl's clothes on.
I know.
You don't think she'll mind? He's like, nah, she won't mind at all.
Yeah, but that nightie, oh my God.
Dude, it looks like a wedding dress.
Leave everything to the imagination.
Yeah, really. Well, he starts rubbing up on her.
I know.
Wow, I can't believe that.
He thought it was pretty sexy, yeah. He was really into it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think he cared either way.
He didn't. He was trying to get in on that for hours. Hours. Like, he sat there and watched her get her massage.
Yeah.
Right,
And then you have the, so we'll jump right to this. There's just a bunch of really bad cutscenes, really boring dialogue.
It's boring.
And then you get
there's
to...
There's so much sitting around.
Then you get to the white dude when the black girl is tied to the chair.
He's trying to rape her the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, he's weird about it. Like, if he wanted to rape her, he could have just done it. But instead, he just, like...
blurts out, like, racial slurs.
Yeah. Calls her head, says she has, like, pubic hair on her head.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, oh, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's, like, the most ridiculous fucking dialogue. Yeah.
And then,
she calls him a honky.
Yeah. And then he was like, oh, I'm not trying to hurt you. And then he goes back to it again. Like,
yeah,
he plays
both.
It's really weird.
And then he's, like, he basically tells her she has to suck his dick. Or, like, doesn't he, right? He's gonna, like...
yeah.
Force her to blow him or something.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess if you're trying to force a girl to do anything, the last thing you want to do is...
it's the last thing you want to do is
because she's just going to bite it off.
The BJ, yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that.
And then it's funny, too, because when his boss walks in and he's, like, got her on the floor, and the boss is like, get off her, leave her alone. And he's like, she looked horny.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And then you got the two guys outside going, you think after he's done, we can get a piece of it?
Yeah. Like, the whole time, that's all they can talk about. It's like, well, you think he's in there getting some? Like,
yeah. Oh, it's terrible.
And, of course, you have, like, all the fight scenes in the midst of all this, too.
Yeah, yeah.
The
so
amazing fight choreography.
Oh, my God. Isn't it fantastic? I told you it's so fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Especially... the first fight scene you get is actually when he's in the hotel room, when the girl tells the guy, right? And he turns around and he takes his forearm right into the guy, hits him in the chest, and never touches him. But yet this dude goes flying across the room. It's really, really bad.
It's like, okay, if you ever watch, it's almost like you're watching them practicing the choreography.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where you watch where they do it really slowly in the like, when you're first learning choreography, and if you can watch it with dancers, too, is they move in almost at, like, a half speed to learn the moves. Well, it seems like they never got past that point. Like, they learned it at half speed and then just went with it. Everything is, like, really slow. And it's not even like they bothered to speed the film up, right? I don't remember them.
No, they didn't.
They just fucking left it. If you watch, I think it's TNT Jackson, there's fight scenes in that where they kind of speed up the film a little bit so that it looks like they're moving faster.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They didn't even bother.
Yeah, they do that a lot. And not only that, if you position the camera right, like, you won't even see that some of these hits aren't even touching.
Well, that's how you would do it. Normally, if you have, like, and you'd have enough cuts, like, their cuts are so bad, it's, I mean, it's funny, and I mean, it's, I'll get it's really funny.
Yeah, well.
It's not supposed to be, but it is, it's hilarious. The fight scenes, I'm dying, it's so funny.
There's one scene, and it doesn't... It's every time somebody mentions this movie, or I see this anywhere, which isn't often, but when I do, is the the move that... So after he finally gets the girl, and they're coming back up the trail, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And he takes out the first guy, comes out after him. there's a scene where he does like a donkey kick. Did you? Yes. He pushes off the ground and he donkey kicks him, and it's like a weird camera angle from his face up, and it's like, what the hell are you thinking? Because he just, and you can actually see that there's nobody there. He donkey kicked air. There was nobody there.
Imagine how badass he must have thought that looked.
Oh my god!
Filming it,
it's so bad.
And you gotta wonder when they're done and this thing's in the can and they're editing it, if somebody's like, "Oh my god!" Like, I could, like this is the best shot they had.
Yeah.
It's not like I would have to assume that this is the best one. Like, maybe they did one take, but if they did multiple takes, this was the one to go with.
Oh, so
this made the final cut.
It's all right. So he donkey. You got to see it to really grasp it. But he donkey kicks him. Donkey kicks nobody. And then the cut scene is him already laying on the ground from the donkey kick, and the guy is flying back. But really, if there was somebody there, he would have been falling at the point of impact, which means he wouldn't have already been on the ground, because it's just so bad, man. But that's all I think. That's the one scene I always think about with this movie, is that donkey kick.
I mean, well, those fight scenes are what I'm always probably going to think about. If there's one reason to watch it, I think it's for those scenes, because the rest of it's pretty fucking dull.
Or like when
there's some funny dialogue, but
when he karate chops the guy in the neck. Like, it's just, it's in slow motion.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, but it's not in slow motion.
No, it's not.
They're just moving in slow motion.
I wonder if after they got this all together, right, and then whatever happened, the producer moved on to something else or something, he's like, all right, yeah, just make sure you speed up the choreography.
Yeah.
And then he left, and then
yeah,
all of a sudden...
something got lost there.
And then all of a sudden...
It's like when you play telephone, that game, and you pass the message from person to person. By the time it gets to the last person, the message is different.
Different, yeah.
Yeah, so it started with, we're going to speed this up, and it ended like, it's perfect the way it is.
Yeah. You know? And then it went through 20 people. It gets to the last guy, and the last guy's like, it's good the way it is. We just got to take another take on the donkey kick, and we're good to go.
Well, actually, I think we're supposed to slow it down a little bit. Yeah. He was moving way too fast.
so bad. But yeah, that is Guy from Harlem. How about the final showdown? Like, with the last guy before they get out?
My God.
Oh, it's so terrible. So bad.
I would be curious to see listen to the riff tracks of this, though.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was out.
I bet that's really awesome. I bet that makes this movie so much more watchable.
Yeah, I would have to. I would say watch it just for the fight scenes alone.
Yeah, some of the dialogue, like we said, the dialogue between the lady that's the black woman that's hostage and the white guy is pretty funny stuff. But yeah.
I mean, if you can find the riff tracks, watch that one.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're into really bad movies, this is pretty bad.
Yeah, it's
definitely funny. I mean, if you were watching this with a group of people, I bet it'd be a lot of fun.
So.
You know, like if you had a few beers in you or whatever, it'd probably be fun.
So.
All right. That was the guy.
You want to take over?
Yeah, let's do The Pit from 1981.
The trawl logs. They're from prehistoric times.
He's going through that difficult stage. You know.
Girls?
Yes.
Teddy?
What do you know? She'll get undressed and go into the bathroom.
Jamie is a 12-year-old social outcast. He has no friends with the exception of his teddy bear, his mother, and four creatures that live in a pit in the ground. Everyone in his neighborhood, from the kids to the adults, hate Jamie and are constantly taunting him or getting him into trouble. Jamie's parents hire a live-in nanny named Sandy to care for him while they leave on a long house hunting trip. Jamie becomes sexually infatuated with his new sitter, plotting to see her naked, watching her sleep, convincing her to give him baths, and becoming jealous of her boyfriends. Meanwhile, Jamie is also trying to figure out how to keep his trawlalog friends alive by feeding them meat from the butcher, which he acquires by stealing money from Sandy. Eventually, he runs out of ways to find fresh meat, so he begins feeding his enemies to them. After he accidentally feeds his babysitter to the monsters, he calls it quits and decides to lower her open to the pit and let them out to fend for themselves. The creatures wreak havoc on various townspeople until a group of vigilante hunters track them down, shoot them dead, and bury them in their own pit. Jamie moves away to be with his grandmother, only to be fed to a new set of trollogs by the girl next door.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, I just spilled my drink.
Right there, there's...
Pit. Oh, where do you even start with it? So, I guess let's start with talking about Jamie, since we're initially introduced to Jamie. I mean, we're shown a scene of him throwing some people into a pit.
Yeah.
But then we see him in school, and he's writing on the board, "I will not bring adult books to school." What did you think about Jamie?
Jamie, there's something wrong with this kid.
Right? What do you think? This is... I almost think he's, like, autistic.
Yeah.
But, like, this was before...
Well, no, because he's showing emotion.
Yeah, well, autistic kids are emotional, I guess. But, yeah. Like, his parents say at one point, I have a thing here, it's like they say he lives in his own head with everyone else existing, like, basically outside of him. Like, he's not always, like, really aware of, like, social... Like, if you ever meet someone who's, like, really autistic, they don't really know how to act in social situations.
I have autistic kids in my family.
Right, like, there was a dude on... I read this thing up. This is weird. This is random, but... It was on, like, Instagram or something, out of one of those sites. And this dude, who was autistic, he was 17, randomly messaged this girl. And he was like, when I rape you, do you want it in the ass or the vag? And he was 17. And his parents were like... Well, he's autistic. He doesn't understand societal norms. And you're like, all right, well, there's a point where you're weird and there's something wrong with you. And maybe you are, you know, autistic, whatever. But his mother is like, in this movie, his mother's like trying to make excuses for him. But his father is funny because his father's like, basically like, this kid's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, he's weird, yeah. he's definitely, it's weird because it's like, he knows what he's doing.
Right.
But at the same time, there's another side of him that is just strange.
Weird shit.
Like,
right?
All he wants, like, I guess it's typical he wants to see naked chicks.
It is, but the way he goes about it is, I have a note here, it says, it's not surprising that grown women don't like him, because he's a pervert. Like, he did cut and paste porn, so like... And this is early cut and paste. So you know how like you can like people would take say a famous person's head and paste it onto like a porn.
Yeah.
You know, like take like the face of Miley Cyrus and put it onto like a hardcore porn, and then that's porn. He did that in this movie. He takes the librarian's head and pastes it on a nude body,
which is the chick's with the bike's mother.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like he's normal in his like interest in women. But he's not normal in the way he goes about it.
And I don't know if you have it written down. Is this fucking bear alive?
All right, I have that down.
Okay.
Oh, we can talk about that now. The whole movie, you would say the teddy bear is not alive.
No, because he's the only one that hears it.
But there's one scene where that fucking teddy bear moves its head.
Yeah.
when
the babysitter is in a room.
She finds his porno mag.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't see the teddy bear's head move, but we do.
Yeah, which is weird.
It's never addressed again.
Ever.
We never see that happen. Every other time, at least that I can think of, that Teddy comes alive, it's with Jamie, and he uses Jamie's voice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's clearly seems to be like it's his own head.
To himself, yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's so weird.
It's such a weird movie because you have you have this weird perverted kid who's probably slightly psychopathic. You've got a teddy bear that may or may not be alive, right? And then you've got a pit with these creatures in it that eat people. There's so many different, like, there's almost three different movies going on.
And then you got the chick that just constantly bullies him.
Well, yeah. Well, her and the old lady, too.
Yeah, oh,
and
yeah.
the kid
yeah.
that randomly fucking punches him in the face.
Yeah.
Like, he walks out.
What's that all about?
He's like, can I, whatever the kid, like, Ricky, I don't fucking know. He's like, Ricky, can I join your club? And he doesn't even say anything. He just punches him in the face.
Yeah.
Square in the face. For no reason. I mean, I get it. Like, yeah, you don't like him. He's weird. But he doesn't deserve necessarily to be punched square in the face for no reason. So I have, you know, the little girls mean to him. The old lady hates him. And the old lady's, like, blind. She's in a wheelchair. Like, everybody's mean to him, but at the same time, you're like, but of course they are, because He's weird.
He's weird.
You know, and he does really weird. He does creepy things, like talk to a teddy bear and constantly try to see women naked, which is normal but abnormal, like I said, the way he does it.
And even when he's trying to be someone's friend, he's such a dick to him.
I know, he's an asshole.
He's an asshole to him. and then he's like, well, why don't you want to be my friend? It's like he doesn't know.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's almost like autistic, but this is 1981, so that wasn't like a thing yet. That wasn't, like, that today is, like, it's almost like a fad. Everybody's autistic today. But in 81, it's just, like, he's just fucking weird. But when I watch it, I think...
Well, maybe back then they would try to suppress, they try to hide it from...
They did, you know? But they would have called it something else.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't have called it that. So Sandy comes to live with him, and Sandy is this woman that his parents hire to live with him and watch him while they're away for fucking... They're away for, like, how long... Like, over...
Yeah, they're gone wild.
Right? This movie takes place over several weeks, right? Like, they never really talk about the time frame, but there is a point where it's all of a sudden Halloween. I'm guessing it's at least, say, like, September through November. They're gone for a couple of months, I think. And then by the end of the movie, it seems like he's on, like, a break from school because he goes to, like, his grandma's house.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't even notice that.
Really weird timeline, and... Because he talks about the Trollologs starving, it must be over a period of time that he's feeding them and all this. So, again, why you get... The first night that Sandy comes to their house, she eats dinner with him, the first thing he tries to do is look up her skirt.
Yeah, yeah.
First thing he does. So it's like, how could anybody like this kid? And I like how his dad, like, grabs him. He's like, none of that, young man.
Yeah. it's weird because his dad knows.
Yeah, his dad knows. He's like, he's trying to fucking sneak a peek at her cooch.
Yeah. his dad's just like, all right, he's weird. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. Like,
right.
And the mom's kind of like, oh, you know, like.
Well, did you catch that one line later? It's random. It's when he convinces the babysitter to give him a bath. And he asks her.
He says his mom.
He's like, do you know why my mom bathes me all the time? And the sitter's like, I don't know. And he's like, is it really because she wants to get me clean?
And you're like, oh, yeah.
Like, wait a minute.
And then so she kind of, like, left after
it's
that.
It's never addressed again, though.
Yeah. This movie does a lot of that.
Was the mother, like, molesting him? Was she?
I don't know.
What was going on? Like, why was she giving him baths all the time? Like, I got this weird, because it's like this weird sexual thing about it, and... The way her face looked was like, yeah, that's not right. And it's never brought up again.
Yeah. And she kind of like just put the washcloth down and went away.
Yeah. Then there's the morning where he watches her sleep, but he's randomly staring at her nipple.
Oh, yeah. Because the nipple is just kind of out of the shirt a little bit.
It's a weird cut, too, because it just cuts to a nipple. Full frame nipple. And I'm watching him like, that's weird. And then I'm like, you know what, though? If, like, you're a 12-year-old, 13-year-old boy, and you happen to be watching somebody sleep, I mean, and their tit was hanging out, you'd probably be zoned right in on that tit.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess that was actually an accurate depiction of what he was probably doing. And then what did you think about his, his decision to write in red marker on the mirror while she's showering that I love you?
Yeah, that's a little weird. Yeah.
Like, you might as well write in blood.
Yeah, I can't believe she stayed around as long as she did.
Especially when he starts stealing money from her.
Yeah, why don't you just be like, fuck this kid and just leave.
Like, he's watching her, he's fucking watching her sleep, he's watching her in the shower, he's looking up her skirt. He's a dick to her boyfriend, he's a dick to her, and he steals cash from her. So all the money she's making is going to fucking buy meat to feed the creatures in the pit.
Yeah.
So there's absolutely no reason for her to be there. She should just have left him and been like, fuck this kid, I'm gone. I'm going to call DCF and have DCF take care of this. He can go into an orphanage.
Yeah.
You're right. There's no reason for her to stick around.
And then you got the scene with the girl and the bike.
Which one?
When she tears the bike apart without him knowing.
That's pretty funny, though.
Yeah, hell yeah. And he goes to take off with a wheelie. And
yeah, and the fucking wheel pops off.
It's so hilarious.
It's hilarious because he's, you know, you're like, yeah, he kind of deserves it.
He deserved everything.
Right. But then he gets back at her with that fucking, he pretends to kidnap her.
With the voice recorder and shit. Yeah.
And he's like, it's for the aunt, Abigail. Her name is Abigail. It's the aunt, and he's like, he convinces her to just fucking take her top off. The aunt takes Polaroids of her because he makes her think. It's like, and first of all, how did she not know it was him?
I think she did.
Did she?
Yeah.
Because she says something like, oh, you little bastards or something. Like, she says, She doesn't say, like, right out. Maybe she probably knew, but then couldn't prove it.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell it was him on the recorder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a recorder set up with the phone, right?
Yeah, he recorded his voice, put it on a payphone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he played it, and he sat outside her window and took pictures. I mean, the fact that I always find those kinds of things interesting because you have to really be able to predict exactly what they're going to say. So, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if I always think about this in Home Alone 2. There's this scene where Kevin records himself booking a room for a hotel, but he slows it down so he sounds like an adult. And he literally has to know exactly what the person at the desk is going to say. So it's like, that's impossible. You couldn't call somebody up on the phone and be like, I kidnapped your 11-year-old niece, and know exactly how that conversation is going to happen. And that that's, in a matter of 2 minutes, going to lead to her being topless.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah,
you're going to
know word for word.
There's no way you could know. Your response could never be perfect to what she's going to say.
Like, yeah, like on Home Alone, even when he rewinds the movie and plays the movie.
Yeah, same exact thing.
You got to stop that movie right at that exact moment.
And you have to know how they're going to react. I always find that kind of stuff funny because it never would work. All right, so let's talk about the trollologs. Trogs, he calls them trogs. My first question is, he's feeding them. He's keeping them alive. How did they survive before Jamie found them?
I thought the same thing. What were they eating?
What were they, right.
Especially when they eventually tell you they're prehistoric.
Yeah, like they've been breeding for millions of years. So, like, these are the ancestors of a million-year-old race, or whatever it is. And but they sit in this pit, and they have no food source. So until he shows up and starts feeding them, they technically should have starved to death.
Yeah, unless they were eating their own dead.
Maybe.
But there was only so many
of them.
There's
only four of them in there. Maybe there were a lot more. So I do want to say this. The original screenplay had the Trogs as fictional, existing only in Jamie's mind. And the changes to the script were made by the director. So, like, we talked about the teddy bear and how we thought that might have just been in his head.
Yeah.
Well, the original script had the Trogs as not being real. And they only existed in his own head. He was crazy. And he thought they were there, but they weren't. So if that would have actually worked a lot better if the teddy bear had been in his head and the Trogs had been in his head. That's why I say by making everything real, you create like these three different horror movies. One of a psycho kid, one of a killer teddy bear, and one of these killer creatures in the woods.
Yeah, but they could have even after he threw the rope down and released them.
Right.
It could have been him killing.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I'm still saying they were loose.
I'd be really interested to see what actually the script had, because that could have been him letting loose his own.
I hear a remake coming on right now.
Yeah. Interesting concept of, you know, how they would have handled it, but, you know, I guess they wanted monsters and they wanted real people dead. I do have another interesting bit of trivia here. So the director's wife refused to let him shoot the nude scenes. So the screenwriter shot them instead. There was only one shot that he was allowed to shoot that had nudity in it, and that's because it was a skinny dipping scene and it was his own daughter.
That's weird. All right, so that just adds to the weirdness of the movie.
Right? Doesn't that just make it even creepier, the whole movie?
Yeah, like, it does.
This whole, like, first of all,
where was the skinny dipping scene?
And after the Trogs get out and they do their little killing spree, there's a scene where...
Oh, with the boyfriend and the girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah,
and she ends up taking her clothes off at some point after she gets out of the water.
Yeah.
Apparently,
we don't see her naked, though.
You see her top. You see her, yeah.
Okay.
So apparently that was his daughter. So he was allowed to shoot his own daughter nude, but not an actress. Like, he couldn't shoot the sandy scene with the nipple or the scene with the aunt taking
because
her top
down. Because his wife wouldn't let him.
His wife wouldn't let him, but as long as it was his own daughter, it was okay.
That's
weird. Isn't that fucking weird?
I'd be like, you ain't filming my daughter naked.
I know, and I'd
film her naked.
Right, and I would definitely be like, and I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like, not only is no one else doing it, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like, what kind of mother is like, it's all right, honey, go shoot our daughter naked.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fucking weird is that?
But I mean, not that strange girl you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That you're never going to have to see again. You're not going to have to see her at Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
You're going to have to see your daughter who you had...
Like, how does that conversation go?
I don't know.
Like, the family comes over, everybody's sitting at the table, and then someone goes, hey, Jamie, Sy topless in that movie that your dad filmed.
Yeah, like, I know. That's looking pretty good.
Yeah. You're really growing into yourself, yeah, haven't you?
Your father really shot you well. He really knew your best lighting.
Because every family has that creepy uncle.
I know.
That creepy uncle is going to just keep talking about that scene over and over.
Well, apparently this one has a creepy mother and father, too. Because they
true.
All right, so I already talked about the ending. Basically, they kill the Trogs. And Jamie goes away to his grandmother's house, and there happens to be another pit that looks identical to the pit he had. And the neighbor or something, some girl, a little girl, feeds him to the Trogs. Movie ends.
Yes, she's pretty cruel. She's pretty mean.
Yeah, but, you know,
she's like, come on, Jamie, let's go play.
I know, he's like, yes, I have a friend.
Yeah.
And she's a girl.
She's so happy, leaves him over to the
that
pit.
That music is playing, that, like, the, you know, that really, like,
happy
upbeat.
Music.
Yeah, the happy music. You're like, all right, Jamie got away with murder. He tried to pin it on, at one point he tried to pin it on the boyfriend.
Yeah.
Remember he fucking put the tutu in there and all that shit. Yeah. Like, he went to a lot of trouble to get away with murder. You're like, you know what? He got away with it.
He leans over, he looks in the pit, and that little bitch just pushed him.
He pushes him in. Whatever. I mean, you know, in a way he had it coming just for being fucking weird, but I gotta give him props because he got away with murdering all the people he hated.
Yeah.
So my last thing would be, I have one little thing. I recommend it. I wouldn't say it's a good movie, but it's an entertaining movie for most of the time.
I watched this in two parts. And I watched, because I watched about a quarter of it on the computer monitor, and it was really bad quality. So I wound up watching, I wound up watching the rest of it on my phone, and it wasn't too bad on the phone.
Yeah.
So
it's hard to find a copy, I guess. It is out on DVD, but I think it's out of print. And I happen to have a VHS of it. That's the only reason I can watch it. I think the ending, honestly, and it's funny that you mentioned the whole thing about where he lets them out. Because I wrote down that I think that's where they should have changed it. Either it should have ended like when he lets them out and kind of left it up to the imagination of what happens, or it could have been, like, your idea even of, like, if it was in his head, of him actually at that point killing
being
people,
a killer,
you know?
Because that would be cool.
Yeah, that would have been an interesting way to do it.
Be like a young Mike Myers.
It would have been really interesting to see him do it. But they didn't do that. And like I said, the whole teddy bear thing would have made more sense that way, too. It all would have made sense, you know?
Yeah, I still don't get that, but...
It doesn't make sense. It's almost like... They were like, well, the Trogs are real now, so I guess the teddy bear has to really be alive. But it doesn't make sense. And one last thing is the reason that I recommend the movie is because it's another movie I watched when I was a little kid, like way too young. And like, could you imagine watching this movie when you're like seven, eight years old?
Be scared of the woods after that.
Yeah, but you'd be like, it's got that weird vibe to it, like the whole like weird sexual thing.
Yeah.
Where at that age, it's like, it's a 12-year-old, so you're not that far off, and he's doing really creepy shit that like you'd expect like a serial rapist to be doing in his youth.
Yeah.
You know? So it has this weird like thing with me where I watched it and it made me really uncomfortable at a young age. And then I watched it again, like, a few times because of that. So I recommend it, but it's somewhat nostalgic, I guess. That's it. I mean, that's it. Out of the three, that is my favorite of what we watched. I don't know what yours.
Yeah, no, I got to go with Bamboo Gods.
I figured it.
Yeah, I liked that one.
No, I liked that. I actually liked all the movies we watched this show
I probably would have liked The Pit more if I just had a little bit better of a copy.
It would
just
helped.
I struggled
actually,
through
it's
it.
Funny, I think as I was watching, I was like, you know what? In my head, I'm thinking this isn't the kind of movie that you need on like Blu-ray, right? You don't need
not on Blu-ray.
What I think it's perfect for is so Scream Factory puts out those four movie
things. Yeah, that'd be good.
Right, and they put in like
and that's that style of movie too.
It's perfect for that because like they put in movies like The Outing and The Crawlers and like these weird 80s. Low budget, like obscure movies, and this would be perfect in like a 4-pack at a Scream Factory, like a decent print with like three other kind of weird offbeat movies. But I would like to see a better print of it for sure.
Oh, actually, I watched The Vagrant off of there.
The Vagrant.
The Vagrant off of the.
You did. You mentioned that you were started watching.
Dude, that movie's pretty good.
It's good. Yeah, right? It's weird. Man. It's so fucking weird.
He's good in that too, though, man. He plays crazy in that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Paxton's in that. Bill Paxton's in that movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and he plays like this this homeless guy keeps breaking into his house and doing all kinds of crazy shit to him. And people just think he's going crazy.
I know.
When it's, really it's
and
not.
And even
it's,
you at some point think he's actually going crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's many points in that movie where I'm like, yeah, he's making this all up. It's not real. It's in his head. It's pretty, it's well done.
I like
done.
That. But no, it is, it's that same style of movie.
Yeah, they the really, the pit fits in with those types of movies. So.
Yeah.
All right, so for the next episode, episode 21, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to be, we're going to try something a little different. Every other episode, we're going to be doing our normal format where we're covering three movies or two movies, depending on how many of us make the show. But the, every other episode, we're going to do sort of like newer, independent, or, you know, something that's current. Yeah, so next week we each chose one. Mike, you chose Here Comes the Devil.
Me too.
And I chose Bloody Bloody Bible Camp.
Yeah.
So we're going to check those out for episode 21. And Here Comes the Devil right now is for rent. I'm pretty sure that should end up on Netflix pretty soon. Because the magnets, that is Magnet, right?
Yeah. So
all the Magnet stuff goes on Netflix pretty soon after release. So
yeah. So it'll be available soon.
That's it. If you got nothing else, that's the show.
That's all I got.
All right.
Get down! Look out for Thomas. He'll come. That cat's a bad dude. No. Watch it get on the back. Check out the room. Me, please, let me shoot.